Find your place, if you will, in chapter number 1, 1 Peter chapter number 1. First Peter chapter number 1 this morning, and we'll begin reading in verse number 10 this morning. I'm sorry, verse number 11. 1 Peter chapter 1, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let's pray. Father, we do come to rejoice and give praise and thanks for this wonderful opportunity you've given us, Lord, to come and worship Thy name and to praise Thee. Father, to gather around the Word of God, assemble with those who are the called out believers. And Father, to come and recognize, Lord, that soon we shall know the great fulfillment and end of the church being called out of this world. And Father, we do rejoice at the coming of our Savior and the glory that shall be revealed as we gather unto Thee. Father, Lord, thank You for this blessed hope that encourages our heart, and Father, Lord, certainly reminds us of the great calling of our God upon our life. We pray, Father, for someone here without Christ, that it might be the glorious day of salvation. We pray, Father, for all of Your dear children, that God, we might heed the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and that, Father, we might respond to the great purposes of God in our life. Bless us now, Father. We'll be careful to give You all praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We've looked previously in this chapter, and we have discovered some precious things. Number one, we have seen that the believer is born for glory. The Bible said He's begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of the dead. And you and I are born for glory. Thank God today I am born again. I trust you would give a testimony today that you are born again. Remember, the Bible says you must be born again. It's more than making a decision, turn over a new life, seeking a reformation, changing to change our ways, trying to get better, do better, live better. No, listen, it is the salvation of God where when we put faith in Christ, we are born from above, born into the family of God, born again and made new creatures. And so He says, not only are we bound for glory, we found also in verse number 5 that we're being kept for glory. Oh, listen, Jesus prayed in John 17, keep them, Father, those that Thou hast given Me, that none of them be lost, except that son of perdition, old Judas. Listen, who was the devil from the beginning? And so, not for them only, but also for them that shall believe according to Thy Word. Wasn't just the originals, it's you and I together, that we are being kept for glory. It's God's purpose to finish what He started. He which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it to the day of Christ. And God is going to come and save and redeem His people and bring them home to Him, present them as a trophy to Christ for the great work of redemption He has performed. So we're being kept for glory. And then we've discovered we're being prepared for glory. Listen, we talked about the season. If need be, you're in heaven. It's through manifold temptation. Oh, yes, right now we sorrow because of the trouble and trials we're in. As I mentioned, one coming in and a new problem, I said, there's always something in it. One thing after another. Something's always breaking. Something's always tearing up. Something's always hurting. That's a part of life. We're not home yet. Okay? This is not heaven yet. Thank God for the foretaste of glory divine. I'm glad I got a taste of Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the good things of God. And listen, that taste makes me excited to have the whole plate full, and it's coming to God's children. But we're being prepared for glory. And there's something God wants you to do, and that is to encourage others along the way. Be an example of Christ. God's teaching us, training us. Listen, to become witnesses and testimony, to walk by faith, to be influence a light upon others, that we might share the gospel and others come. But also we discovered, listen, that we are bound for glory. Receiving even the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Thank God, one day we shall receive the end of it. It will come to an end, and the end is glorious. And we're going to be with Jesus, all of our cares goodbye. You can have the world and all the troubles and trials that go with it. Thank God you can have feeble bodies and pain and suffering. You can have the cancer and the heart attacks and all the stuff. You can have death and all the tears. I'm going to a better place, leaving it all behind. I'm going to be with Jesus and be happy every day forever and evermore. And so you and I are bound for glory. That's God's purpose in our life. Now, in light of all that, listen, I understand today as a child of God that my life is more than meat and raiment. You're bound for glory. Life's more important than that. Has more meaning than that. More purpose than that. I like to eat. Plan on doing some this afternoon. I like to eat. I would like to eat a lot more than I do eat, but I like to eat. I like to eat things that I don't eat very often, but I like to eat. I like being happy. Don't you? I like pleasant times. I like enjoyable times. I like to be comforted. I like to rest. I like to have peace. I like to have good fellowship. I like to do a lot of things. Some of them y'all don't appreciate. Some of them you don't like. I like to ride a motorcycle. That's all right. Not everybody's cup of tea. I understand that. But a lot of things I like to do, but my life's more important than that. There's more to life than that. Because God reached down and saved me for a purpose and called me to glory. I'm passing from here to glory. God has something for me to do. That's way more important than eating, drinking, being merry, and all those kind of things. Your life is more than just eating, drinking, being merry. Your life is more than just filling a spot, you know, putting food on the table, clothes on the back, roof over your head, saying good morning, good night, until finally you say goodbye. Life's more important than that. Aren't you glad? More important than that. And so God has called us to eternity. And God is trying to put in our hearts that we might lay hold upon eternal life. That is, your life is more than just these things. That it's far greater, it's more important, more valuable. God has a greater purpose for your life than just these things that worldly people who have not this blessed hope, but seek for in life, God wants to call you to something higher, more important. And so, the Bible says here in verse number 13, he begins with wherefore. Whenever you find the word wherefore, what do? Well, you go back and you build upon it. He's making a point. And the point is here is that, listen, you were born for glory, kept for glory, prepared for glory, bound for glory. Wherefore? That is, that there ought to be a practical response in your life to all these wonderful things. And here's the practical response. Being this is what God's going to do. Being this is going to be your future. This is your life. This is what's going to happen. This is where you're headed. This is God's plan and purpose. Wherefore, in light of all that, what does he say? He said, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loin cloths, that is, take your belt, pull it together. He's talking about get your mind wrapped around this. You got thinking about this. He said, tighten up your thought process and concentrate. Okay? I want you to concentrate on something. Peter said, listen, I want you to concentrate on this. He said, and hope to the end for the grace to be brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, get your mind wrapped around the fact that pretty soon Jesus is going to come for you and you're going to stand before him. And you're going to enter into the glory. And you're going to leave the old life behind, enter into the new life. Get your mind wrapped around it. Listen, there's coming a time when this life is over. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow. But sooner or later, if you're saved today, you will be with Jesus, and all this is behind you. And he said, get your mind, get your thoughts wrapped around this. And then he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance. So what is he talking about? He's saying, listen, listen, don't behave yourself like you did when you didn't know Christ. Don't act like you don't know where you're going. Don't act like you don't know God. Don't begin to live like you are ignorant of salvation and ignorant of the glory of Christ, ignorant of what God is doing. Don't live as if you didn't know it better. Listen, how many times your mama looked at you and said, you knew better than that. Right? Remember that? That lecture? You know better than that. I didn't raise you that way. You know better. And we did. We did. My mama, I don't know where she got it. We've looked it up, never found the word. My mom would say, y'all act like a bunch of U-bangies. I don't know what a U-bangie is, but it was bad, whatever it was. I asked mama where she got the word. She didn't know. I looked it up. Couldn't even find it in the slang dictionary. I don't know what a U-bangie is, but it's bad. And so, listen, we know better. One of my favorite Andy Griffith shows, when Opie came to the table without a shirt on, Aunt Bee had a fit. And she said, you will not sit at this table like a heathen. Go get a shirt on. And made him go get dressed. Sometimes, listen, we act like heathens, like we didn't know better. You see. And so he's telling us, get your mind wrapped around what God has done in your life and what he's going to do, and start thinking about it, concentrate on it. He said, listen, quit living as if you didn't know better, if you didn't know the truth, didn't know the gospel. And then he says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. If we take the word holy, here's the practical response to the hope of glory. Listen, here is the answer for the wherefore, and it's be ye holy. The word holy, listen, actually goes back to a root that means an awful thing. But we usually use the context of the word awful to mean something bad and evil. But the awful here is the fact that it is something that is highly respected and reverenced. That is something we honor and something we hold dear that has great respect and reverence and honor. That is not to treat your life as common, insignificant, or unimportant. And so he tells us here that in response to all this glory that God has in store, be ye holy. That is, listen, your life has been saved, separated by God, and listen, and you have been blessed with and given life eternal, and God is changing you, transforming you. You're a new creature in Christ, and do not treat your life in a common sense, in a disrespectful sense, but understand that you belong to God and you're one of His children. And so he says, you ought to respect that. You ought to have reverence for what God has done. Not to treat your life as commonplace or with insignificance. You remember Jacob had met with the Lord and he had that vision. And the Lord came down, the ladder was there, and the angels ascending, descending. You remember what happened? He woke up. He said, this is a dreadful place. Not meaning in the sense of evil or bad, but in the sense of holy and sacred, a place to be feared. Why? Because God met with a man in this location. And you know what? Forever in his mind, when he went back to that place, he came up there not as a common dirt or a common rock or a common hillside. He recognized that as a special place. And whenever he was there, it brought his mind back to the fact that right here, God met with me. So listen, that's what he meant when he called it a dreadful place. He was calling it, like the scripture, a holy place. For God met me here. God was actually in this place. You know where God is today? The Bible said, ye are what? The temple of the Holy Ghost. God has met you where you live and now lives inside. If you're saved today, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And so here's what he's saying. He said, be ye holy. That is, you understand here that that with reverence and respect and honor what God has done in our life. And the dreadful part is the part of violating the sacredness that God has redeemed. and set apart from sin. I love that story. I mentioned it once in a while, but I love that story. And God had given David that band of misfits, and they hang out with David such that David began to be reflected in their lives. David was already a man after God's own heart. He's already the king of Israel, even though he was exiled. And boy, was he a king, and was he a leader and a man of God. Because you know what happened? Listen, all them men around him, a bunch of vile reprobates came to him. When they got done, listen, they were men of character, men of integrity, men of courage. Have you ever spoke out loud to yourself and you really didn't intend to be heard? David was just simply, I'm sure the tears streaming. He had been exiled from home. Saul was out to kill him. There he was out in the woods, been running, running, running. And he opened his mouth one day and he said, oh, for some water from the wells of Bethlehem, where he grew up. What he didn't know, he had some faithful men that heard him. You know what they did? To risk their lives, they secretly snuck in past Saul's camp at the risk of their life with a secret mission. And there they went and got into Bethlehem. You know what they did? They drew water out of the wells of Bethlehem, put it in a vessel, got back through enemy lines, brought back, and all of a sudden they said, here, King David, this is for you. He said, what is it? It's water from the wells of Bethlehem. You know, David's spirit was overcome that God would give him some people like that, that would risk their lives for just something he had envisioned. David stopped, looked at that water. He could not drink it. You know why? It was not commonplace. It came at the price of a sacrifice. Men willing to give their lives just to meet a simple request of their king, and had endangered their lives, may have cost their lives to bring me this water. You know what he did? He poured it out to God as an offering unto the Lord, because it was God's work. It was God's doing that these blessings have come upon me. And listen, he poured it out as an offering unto God. Because, listen, in the sense of the word holy, it was too dreadful to use in a common way. It was too dreadful to use just for his own self-satisfaction. Some of y'all not getting it. It was too precious. It was too great just to use for his own personal need. It had been set apart by sacrifice. And so he poured it out into God. Listen, your life is not to be used for the commonplace routine of the vile and the carnal and the wicked and the worldly. God set it apart for his use. And what you have in your vessel came at the sacrifice of the Son of God. Listen, to fill your life with himself. And so Peter says, in light of all this glory, in light of the calling of glory, being born for glory and kept for glory and prepared for glory, and listen, bound for glory, in light of all that God has done, listen, your life is to be holy. That is, listen, it is to be considered of importance, as to have a respect and a reverence for what God has done for you and what God has poured into you. Listen, God has given you all these things for Him. And so he says, be ye holy. If you will, turn with me some scriptures. We're going to struggle today to get done. But if you will, open to 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. I'm going to give you these quickly here today. There are three texts I want to consider that reflect this call to holiness. Number one here is 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Here's the point. We are to embrace the promises. Embrace the promises. You have a book full of promises in this Bible. And we are to embrace them. Look what he says in 7:1, 2 Corinthians. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Notice he ties together this holiness with having something. What do we have? We have these promises. And our response to these promises is to be reflected in holiness for God. And so I want you to see here the practical call to holiness. We are, number one, to embrace the promises that God has given us. I don't have the time, so let me give you quickly. Previously, he said having. That means you go back and begin looking what was written here in the letter. Here's what he says and tells us. In chapter 4, he described for us that we have a new life. We have a new life in Christ. Chapter 5, we are made new creatures. Thank God, I am not blind, not wicked, not living for the devil, not walking in the pathway of sin. I'm glad today that I'm not in the bondage of sin. I'm glad I'm not blinded to God and blinded to truth and blinded to heaven and blinded to salvation. But thank God I can see. And God, listen, has taught me. God has showed me. God has convicted me. And God has saved me. And so I have a new life. Embrace the promises. You have a new life in Christ, not the old one. What profit is there, Paul wrote, a profit in the things in which brought you death? What profit is in the old life? What is it about the old life you want so bad? If you want it so bad, why'd you get saved? If it filled every one of your needs, then why do you want it now? You have a new life. Now listen, also he reflects here that we have a new liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. We're being changed as we behold the glory of the Lord. We're changed to that same image the Bible says here. And listen, we have a new liberty. He also tells us in verse number 5, he said, that who hath given us the earnest of his Spirit. Where the Spirit is, there is liberty. Thank God we know no man after the flesh anymore. But we have a new liberty to walk in. Thank God today I have liberty I never had. I have liberty, listen, to come to the house of God today, my friend. Liberty. You know why I didn't come before I got saved? Didn't have that liberty. I was bound in sin. I thought everything in there was of no count, worthless, waste of time, pitiful, sad, and got no time for it. But thank God, the liberty. I have liberty to enjoy good things. Liberty to enjoy God. Amen. You know what? God meets with us here this morning, I get to enjoy it. A lot of people can't wait to get out the door. God would show up, we'd lose folk. But we pray that God will manifest Himself and His Spirit might move here. And you know what? When the Spirit of God moves and God gets close, I'm going to enjoy it. You know why? I've been given the liberty to enjoy God. I've been given a liberty to enjoy reading the Word of God. I've been given a liberty to enjoy preaching it. And you ought to shake your head, boy, you sure do. Amen's an old means on that part. I've been given a liberty. So have you, if you're saved. Paul's building on these things. He said, you got a new life, new liberty. And then he talks about a new body right here in chapter 5. He said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have the building of God, a house not made with heavens, with hands eternal in the heavens. He said, when this old body's gone, thank God I have a new one made by the hand of God. I have a new body. Now Paul put that together. Paul says, listen, I want you to embrace the promise. How do I embrace the promises? By being holy. That is, if you got a new car, you know what you ought to do? You ought to drive it. Huh? What good is to have a new car if you don't ever drive it? If you got a new life, live it. Got a new liberty, live it. Got a new body, listen in glory. Quit dying and fretting all over the one that's dying. Thank God I got another one. Got another one. I'm not minimizing suffering, pain, sorrow, and death, and hardship, but I'm saying, hey, listen, let a little light get in there that, hey, I do have a new body. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not the end. Not the end. Just a transfer. Got a new one. And so we embrace the promises. Number two. I'm trying to hurry. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The great call to holiness. We find the scripture, the practical call to holiness. Number one, embrace the promise. Number two, estimate our priorities. How do I be holy? What is holiness all about? I embrace the promises. I estimate my priorities. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? It goes on. Listen, the practical call to holiness. Listen, not only by embracing the promises here, but estimating our priorities. He said, listen, the day of the Lord's going to come. All these things shall be dissolved. Remember, God has told us there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and all these things shall be burned up, and the works. Did you notice that? The works of men. All the things man has done, all of his man's glory. Listen, it'll all be dissolved. It's not going to last, not going to survive. It's temporary. It's only here for a little while. It's gone, just like our life, like a vapor, and then gone. Listen, all these things men have done, all the promises they made, all the developments, all the creation, all the works, all the discoveries, all the science, all the technology, it will all be dissolved. It does not lead to a future eternal life. That's found only in Christ. All that being dissolved. What manner of persons ought you be in all holy conversation. That is, a call to holiness is seen by our estimating our priorities of life. Let me read you the scripture. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Ever. You and I estimate every day of our life the value of things by how long they last. Right? How long is it going to last? And we're not paying an exorbitant sum for something that's not going to last me long. I was sharing with Rhonda yesterday. I guess it was at breakfast. I don't remember. That there are some things we spend money on, and practically it's the worst investment in the world. It's not an investment at all. One of those is technology. That computer you bought 5 years ago, you paid $1,000 for, is a paperweight today. You ever thought about that? So every time you go out and buy a new one, you do understand that in 3 to 4 years, it's about obsolete. It's just about gone. And a lot of things about that. And so we have to weigh those things out. How important is it? How long is it going to last me? You see. And so you, matter of fact, some things you consider, how much money can I get in return if years down the road I want to sell it? There's some things that hold their value, some things that have no value. We estimate our life. God is reminding us here that you are to respect, give reverence, and honor to the life that God has given you and to a call to glory that God has given. And so along the way, you practically, you embrace this matter of holiness by embracing the promises, and then you exercise it also here, number three, by perseverance. Look at Hebrews chapter number 12. This will be my last one. In Hebrews 12, look at verse number 15. He says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. I'm sorry, verse 14 also. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That context is the chastening of the Lord. God, listen, has to chasten His own. You and I, listen, we are a work in progress. And God is teaching us. We're being instructed. God is preparing us to be used of Him. God, listen, is transforming our lives. And we go through difficulties, trials and troubles and hardship as a part of the great plan and purposes of God for our life. We learn about God. We learn of God's mercy. We learn to be thankful. How we learn to have hope and faith. How by the troubles God sends, we learn that God answers prayer, that God is faithful, that God is good. And we learn most of those lessons by going through the troubles and trials of life. And so He tells us here that we're to exercise faith as we go through this life. That is leading somewhere and it has a purpose. And then He tells us here that you and I are to follow peace and holiness, and we're to look diligently lest any man fail the grace of God. That is, the grace of God is sufficient. That you and I, that life is troubled, that we are to maintain our respect, reverence, and regard for God's calling in our life. In this chapter, in these verses, verse 11 and 12, we are to have faith and we're to pray. Verse number 13, we're to keep walking straight. Number 14, we're to follow peace and holiness. Number 15, we're to watch. And so in my life, I am to be found persevering. That I'm going through difficulties, but I have my faith in God. I make my prayer unto the Lord. No matter what happens, I'm going to keep walking straight. I'm going to keep following peace. I'm going to remember that I've been called of God to live for Him, that time to give Him glory, and I'm to be watchful that I don't let any bitterness come in, but I am to trust the fact that God's grace is always sufficient for me and that He will lead me on to glory. And so, listen, you and I are called to holiness. We are to give a respect, a reverence, and an honor for the new life God has created, the new purpose God has for us, and the new home that God has prepared. That's what it's all about in a practical sense of being holy.